Hallelujah. Everyone say, we're the army. Rising up. Yeah. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Because we have a choice, don't we? Amen. The choicing of rejoicing. Oh, glory. Time, seasons, trials, tribulations, attacks, freedoms, healings, deliverance. Welcome to the earth. But only in the kingdom of God can many of the afflictions of the righteous be established, but he delivers you out of all of them. Only those who are in the kingdom can be delivered out of all of them. But God desires to deliver everyone. He's not a respecter of person, or anyone that's willing to come after him, chase him, look to him for hope, strength, and life, to the reality that he is our everything, and we are nothing without him. You know, there's got to be a reality at some point in time. Many people get a reality when they're in jail. Many get people get a reality when they're sick. Many get a reality when things just are not going right, and they know it. And the reality is that there's something better. There must be something more. And the reality comes because God is tapping on the shoulder and says, hello, what about me? You know, I am the one that made you. I'm the one that sent you into the earth, into this realm. How about letting me take care of things for you? So there comes a place where reality hits us. It's like a reality wall. You know, gosh, something's up. And we have a tendency to look up. Even an atheist will look up.
Amen. I don't believe in God.
Oh, God, what did I do now? You know? So there's got to be a point in time when reality hits us. And the purpose of that is because God is saying, knock, knock. You know? Who's there? He's trying to bring us to a place where reality comes to truth. So in other words, when we hit the wall of reality, there's an area where we go, man, I need it. What's up? What's the truth? What we're actually looking for is truth then. When we hit the wall of reality, then we want to know what truth is. Even though we may not understand it, we're looking for truth, but we're looking for something. So we may be looking for a way out, but the only way out is actually truth. And when that comes to me and you, then there comes a place where we want to understand. Understanding. So there's reality, there's truth, then there's understanding. And when we come into the place of understanding, we've entered another realm. It's different. And this is where, you know, last week I know we started the service off talking about building on revelation. And one of the things the Holy Spirit said, the anointing wants to teach on building on revelation. And it's important that we build on revelation. And so, revelation, in getting revelation, we want to be getting understanding. Because revelation is understanding. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to go to God and understand everything. Do you understand that? Because there's a place where God isn't going to tell you, reveal to you everything. Because he's not just, he's the God of trust. He's the God of truth. He's God. And there's times when he doesn't want you to understand it. Because if he explains it to you, then you won't experience it. Because sometimes you're getting ready to go through a trial which will bring understanding to you. How many of y'all know that your trials are more understandable than it is when somebody tries to explain it to you? In Matthew 16. So we are entering another place. Jesus was trying to explain to his disciples about building on revelation. Now, many people get revelation, but it's not from God. And when you get revelation that's not from God and you try to build on it, the end result is destruction every time. Because familiar spirits like to tell people that's revelation. In Matthew 16, in verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples. Now his disciples hung with him for a while. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he was looking for outside sources to see what his disciples were hearing. And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus said to them, he already told them, I am the, grab hold of this. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He already told them he was the Son of Man, in other words, the Son of God. But the disciples said, well, they hadn't said anything about you being the Son of God yet. And they just said that you're John the Baptist, Elijah, or others like Jeremiah, or prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter is the only one who answered him. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty standing in front of him, who's asking me who you are. Jesus answered and said to him in verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, Peter got revelation. Now, Peter is also known as Rock, the Rock. And verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock or this revelation, I will build my church. So what's the church built on? Revelation. I want you to grab this. But the foundation is the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty. Amen? I'm going to say this again. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this revelation, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I want to explain to you gates of hell. Gates of hell are dimensional ports. I share with you we're going to another area because it's time to go into another area. They are dimensional ports. What do you mean by dimensional ports? These are ports which access demonic activity in and out. They just don't appear from nowhere. They have to come through a port. There are many ports that are created. Many ports are created by the bloodshed of humans. That opens up a dimensional port for demonic activity to come in. Twin Towers opened up a dimensional port. What was laid after it? What's the tower? What's the Freedom Tower now? It's nothing but a Islam sign and insignia. Right next to it is what? The whole temple, the worship center of Muslim, Islam, all of it. So we see a demonic dimensional port was opened there, and they set their shrine there. And there are many dimensional ports that have opened up in bloodshed. That's why the powers of darkness love to put humans against humans, because there's more bloodshed than another dimensional port can open. And that's why Jesus came and died, because his blood opened up a dimensional port to eternal life. Has everybody got that? And there's something else Jesus says here. Now, this is powerful, because he says, and verse 19, and I will give you the what? Keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. This is an area where binding spirits, demonic spirits, amen? We have the keys. He said, look it. On the foundation, this is what I'm going to build my church on. I'm going to build my church, my body. I'm going to build it on the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. But that's the foundation. But the building is going to be on revelation. So we want to continue to build on revelation. And we'll talk a little bit more about what the revelations. And he says, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Why do we need keys if it's binding and loosening? And because he said, wait a minute, this the anointing, the gates of hell shall not prevail. But gates are what? They're eternal ports. They're dimensional ports, aren't they? There's only one eternal port. That's Jesus. The rest of them are just dimensional ports. So what he's saying, I'm giving you the keys to bind what? To bind up all demonic dimensional ports. We're to bind these ports. We're to bind them. Does everybody get that? What? That means close them. We're to close them. And by closing these dimensional ports, we're shutting them down. Doesn't a demon... Now look it. When demons come, when a person is carrying demons, and hello, aren't they using that person to do what? Open up what? Dimensional ports. What are they trying to do? They're trying to bring in, because that demon is access has come from a dimensional port to get into a person, and that demon now is using that person to manifest demonic activity in this realm because he came through a dimensional port. So we want to bind that demon also to stop influencing individuals in this realm to shut the flow of that dimensional port. Now, every morning my prayer is I call destructive fire down on every dimensional port of Satan's kingdom and ask the Lord to destroy them. That's a part of my warfare prayer. Destructive fire down on every satanic altar, Satan's high places of altars, demonic forces, dimensional ports of darkness, so that they're shut. Can you imagine if the whole body of Christ would start doing that every day? Man, we would shut the powers of darkness up. Okay. So the foundation of the church is built on the anointing. There's two things. It's built on the anointing and revelation. It's built on the anointing and revelation. Now, revelation is the unveiling mysteries of the eternal kingdom. It's unveiling mysteries of the eternal kingdom. And, of course, the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. So revelation unveils the mysteries of the eternal. Again, hell cannot have victory with those of understanding of this mystery. When you get an understanding of all of this, they can't have victory over you. Why? Because your response is to bind. Your response is to stop what's going on. Again, the gates are ports of entrance and exit, dimensional ports of demonic flow. And it is used in this realm of the matrix of the kingdom of self. The anointing holds the keys to close gates of hell and opens the gates of the kingdom of God. Why? Because we call those things in through the eternal port through Jesus. There's only one eternal port, and that's Jesus. But you and I open by calling these things in. Besides binding demonic spirits manifesting through people in this realm, as born-again believers and soldiers of Christ, it is our responsibility and duty and a part of our mission to shut down demonic rebellious acts that open ports and protect and defend the kingdom of God. See, too many people are caught up in, again, in the kingdom of self. They don't even consider protecting the kingdom of God. You know how many people tolerate authority and don't respect it in the kingdom itself? They tolerate authority, but they do not respect it. And those are individuals that are used to constantly bring in and manifest darkness. But I've been a believer 90 years. I don't care. It's our responsibility to defend and protect the kingdom of God and that which is of God's. Amen? Building on revelation. Revelation is the unveiling mysteries of the eternal kingdom. Things that God releases to us. And in this, he's given me and you the keys. We need to shut these ports, these dimensional ports. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to bind powers of darkness. It's our responsibility to remove them. It's our responsibility. In Daniel 10, this is the army that is rising up. They're nameless, they're faceless. They're not out to promote themselves. They don't put themselves before anything. They put the kingdom before everything. Hallelujah. Daniel 10:10. And suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. What was he doing? He was bringing him revelation. He was bringing him what? Revelation. The spirit of revelation just showed up. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to what? Understand and what? Humble yourselves before your God. Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Verse 13, read it with me. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Now the prince of Persia was the principality over Iran area. He is a fallen angel of Satan's kingdom. He is known as a prince of the unseen realm that rules the kingdom of self. And he said that the angel, the spirit of revelation that was sent to Daniel, that spirit had to fight for 21 carnal days. For him, it was seconds. And he had to wait. Now, it says here, he said, verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, Archangel Michael, had to come and help to relieve the spirit of revelation to get to Daniel. And it says, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you what? Understand the revelation. See, if people start binding the principalities, are you hearing? If you start binding the principalities coming against the angels working on your behalf, why not assist them? I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days to come. So, here we are in spiritual warfare. Is everybody with me? This is spiritual warfare. To what? To bind. To loose. Spiritual warfare. Remember, the anointing. The church is built on revelation, isn't it? The anointing in revelation. So we see something is happening here. And in this part, we are to be taking our authority of binding and loosening, calling down destructive fire. And in this spiritual warfare, we fight so that heaven can also come in. Isn't Jesus' prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? Amen. Well, look at it. It's not just going to come without somebody making way for it. Amen. What did John the Baptist, he was known as, he was preparing a way for Jesus. Amen. The spirit of Elijah now is preparing a way for Jesus. But the spirit of Elijah now is through the kingdom of God, preparing a way for the Lord. So we are of the generation of Elijah. Yeah. Kickers of devils calling down. Come on. He beheaded all those dudes, baby. Yes. Anyways. So, we are in spiritual warfare to bring... Look at when... So there's an area where you and I must battle to burst through so that revelation can come and we can understand what the revelation is. Amen? Because without understanding, nothing changes. We don't change. We got to have the understanding. Amen? So also, listen, also revelation will bring vision. It always brings vision. Because revelation always paints a picture. It's art. It's eternal art. It's a picture that's painted. And remember, he said here, he said, I'm going to let you know what's getting ready to the day, things of latter. See, revelation tells us multiple things. It tells us not only sometimes what was, what is, what's coming. It helps from warning. God can speak to us in multiple ways through revelation. Dreams, visions, audible voice, whatever. It doesn't matter. He can speak to us in multiple ways. But the church is built on the anointing and revelation. So the anointing is the foundation. Revelation continues to build on it. All right. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 15, is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Building on revelation. Let's speak it. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the what? Spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of him. Now look at this. What is the end result, he says in verse 18? The eyes of your what? Understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Now look at this. Far above what? All principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So he's above all things, isn't he? So do you know that we are seated with him? See, when people don't know that, they don't know who they are. They're still looking at themselves. And why are they still looking at themselves? Because they're in the kingdom of self. There's a difference of living in the kingdom of God and living in the kingdom of self. When you live in the kingdom of God, your eyes are not on you. They're not on what you want. They're not on your will. They're not on you. They're on Him. When you're in the kingdom of God and you're living in the kingdom of God and as a citizen and servant and steward and soldier of the kingdom of God, you are not about you again. You are about Him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation to get understanding, which puts, when we get understanding, you know what we do with it? We put it into action. When you don't get understanding, it sits and collects dust. Amen. 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3. Can you imagine that the Lord sees all the revelations that He's released collecting dust? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 1. Now, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Eli was the prophet at that time. Samuel was a young boy. And it says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. In other words, revelation was rare. There was no widespread what? Revelation. That's pretty poor, isn't it? And why was there not widespread revelation? Because Eli was supposed to have been building on revelation and getting revelation, but he was not keeping his house clean. In other words, his sons were in fornication, and he didn't restrain them or warn them. And for many years, he let this go on. And no revelation come. God stops it. Now, how does revelation come? Ministering to the Lord. Amen? You minister to the Lord. You're one who ministers to the Lord. In verse 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was lying down in his bed, and when his eye had grown so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was laying down, the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, I am here for you, called me. And Eli said, I didn't call you. And he went back to go back to lay down. In verse 6, and the Lord called again to Samuel and said, Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli again, who was laying down, because he kept thinking that it was Eli who was calling him and not the Lord. So Samuel finds that I didn't call you. He said, go back and lay down. Now, Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Was what? Revealed. In other words, Samuel did not get revelation yet. But God was positioning him. He was getting ready to. And the Lord called to Samuel again the third time. So he rose and went to Eli again. And Eli told him, he said, listen, I'm not the ones calling you. It must be the Lord. And when he calls you again, just say, here I am, Lord. I'm listening. Speak to me. Amen. Look at verse 9. Therefore, Eli said to him, go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered and said, speak, your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli. Whoa. All that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And what was that? He was going to destroy it. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. For the iniquity which he what? Knows. Not that he committed, but that he knows. Because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. To make a long story short, they got attacked. They lost the Ark of the Covenant. Eli's sons were killed. And Eli fell off his chair and broke his neck and died. And that started a whole other thing. Now Samuel took over for Eli. See, even King Saul, who got revelation from God and served the Lord multiple times and finally became prideful, when the Lord told him to go out and kill everything and the king and not all the Amaleks, he brought the king back with him and some of the spoil. And the Lord said, I didn't tell you to do that. And because you've disobeyed me again, you will not serve or rule in my kingdom. And he replaced him with King David. And Samuel, after not and the anointing of kingship left him, and a tormenting, distressing demon attacked him and attached himself to him, to where he had to have King David, who was not king yet, but David was a minister of the Lord. He worshiped God. He played the instrument. So God's presence was with David. So King Saul had to have David near him. So when David began to play, King Saul would get refreshed and healed, and that demon would leave him. See, one of the ploys of the enemy is to keep you out of corporate presence. And if you don't have understanding of that, God can't trust you. Does everybody get that? See, when there's understanding, we put it into action. When there's not understanding, revelation just collects dust. And the body of Christ, the church, we're to be parts of building the kingdom on revelation here. And it says that revelation was very rare there. Well, let me tell you, revelation is multiple now, more than it's ever been. God is revealing more and more and more. But many people are still trampling it much. See, they're really not taking it too hard because they want to use God. They want to be used by God, but first they want to use God. And he don't work that way. Is everybody okay? So revelation comes by ministering to the Lord. And when revelation comes, there's something that changes in me and you. Love changes. We love righteousness. When revelation comes, man, you love righteousness, man. You just love righteousness. You love it. Why? Because God is righteous. You love it. And there's something else. You hate unrighteousness. You hate rebellion. You hate it. You hate the act of it. Doesn't mean you hate people, but you hate that act. Amen? You hate the works of flesh. You hate it. See, there's something about when Samuel and Eli tolerated authority. Samuel respected it. And Samuel was given revelation. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 12. So when revelation comes, in fact, what we have is we've got a Bible of revelation, don't we? Revelation comes, and when revelation is written, when it's read, it becomes illumination. And when illumination comes, there's a brings a thirst and hunger to want to get revelation. Is everybody okay? 2 Corinthians 12, is everybody there? Building on revelation. And verse 1. Let's read it together. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to what? Visions and revelations. Why? Because revelation brings what? Sight of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And he was talking about himself. I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise. And heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of these revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. One of the things Paul realized is that his flesh was in the way. He realized that it, in other words, self was in the way. So he always had to take dominion over self to receive revelation. That's why ministering to the Lord allows you dominion over yourself. Because you're ministering to the Lord, you take its dominion over yourself. And God's willing to bring revelation. So when we come corporately, what we're doing is we're ministering to the Lord. Why? Because he's trying to get revelation. And a lack of corporate worship will bring less revelation. Unless you're walking in sin, then ain't coming anyways. So revelation brings sight. What happens, there'll be a revelation, an illumination, and then eventual manifestation that will manifest in the physical. Again, the word always, the word illuminates because it was, its foundation was built by revelation. So before this was written, it was released as revelation. When it becomes written, you and I read it as illumination. And this illumination will bring me and you a thirst and hunger for more revelation. Does everybody get it? Why? Because once we get revelation and it enlightens us with understanding, then there'll be a manifestation. Why? Because you'll put it into action. And until you put it into action, nothing can come. Nothing comes. Revelation from God brings humility, not pride. It makes God very, very big. And you feel real, real little. In fact, it makes him bigger than your circumstances. In Revelation chapter 1. In verse 1. Remember, Revelation is the unveiling mysteries of eternal kingdom. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of the Anointed One and His anointing, which God gave Him to show His servants these things which must shortly take place. In other words, He's telling things to come. He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant. That angel was the Spirit of Revelation, who bore witness to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that He saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So again, we see things that will take place. God reveals revelation. It is prepare, warn, adjust, expose, see things through to encourage and to bring an impartation of more of Christ in me and you. And Galatians chapter 1. Why? Because this is how the church is built. It's built on the anointing and on revelation. Again, one of the things it will always bring is a love for righteousness. It brings a love for righteousness. Love. You love righteousness and you hate unrighteousness. In verse 11, let's speak it together. Galatians 1, verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. But it came through what? Revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure in what? Tried to destroy it. Wow. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to what? Reveal. Bring what? Revelation of his son in me, that I might preach among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go out to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. In other words, he separated himself. When revelation comes, man, you want to get closer to God. You don't want to get further away. You come closer. When true revelation comes, why? Because you want to be as pure as possible. You want to be so filled with light that light blends with light, and there's a oneness. You want to be like-minded. You want to be light-willed. You want to like the things he likes. You want to love the things he loves, and you want to hate the things he hates. Or there'll be separation, and it becomes long-distance relationship, not close. See, again, the purpose is to build the church on revelation. Can you imagine if the church, if everybody would take revelation and not put it aside to collect dust, we would be like-minded. We'd be like-willed. We'd be like-purposed. we wouldn't be concerned about self or fight for our own will. We wouldn't be in survival mode. We'd be surrender mode. Believe me, people will be volunteering to help in every area. There'd be more of a unity. There'd be more outreaches. There'd be much more the kingdom of God and expansion of expanding his hand, his love, his presence, and service. There'd be more rescue. But it's not happening. Because too much revelation is just collecting dust. Hallelujah. Go to Galatians 2 in verse 1. And it says, and after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I also took Titus with me. And I went up by what? Revelation. So he was directed to go somewhere by the revealing. In other words, God's speaking to us according to kingdom business. Kingdom business. Even things, marriage is about kingdom business. It's not about self business. All of these things are about kingdom business. And even in the area of business, our businesses should be a ministry. It should be about kingdom business. Everything that you and I do is always should be about kingdom business, not about self business. Amen. So it says he went up by revelation and communicated to them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who are of reputation, lest any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet now even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. In other words, do things of action without faith. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly bound in or brought in, who come in by stealth. That's where that word comes, spy. To spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into what? Bondage. Believe me, there are individuals that will come in to try to bring bondage to people. And they are unrighteous and don't love righteousness, or they wouldn't attempt to bring bondage, would they? To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me. But now on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcision was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. Again, on this, my main purpose of this was to bring revelation that God will bring direction to me and you through revelation. What's he doing? He's setting a new course. Now, again, when God brings revelation, and revelation is built by God, its end result is prosperous. If it's not, it's going to be destructive. Because revelation from deception builds destruction. Amen? Ephesians 3. Hallelujah. Building on revelation. Verse 1, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made me to know the what? Mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may what? Understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Now, grab hold of this, because in this, you are partakers of his inheritance. You know, we have a hard time comprehending and receiving a lot of stuff from God. Why? Because our eyes are still on us. When they truly come off of us and we're able to see what God has for us and who we are in him, not just who he is in us, but who we are in him. Such revelation. Again, revelation changes life. Revelation brings life, brings healing, brings deliverance. Fresh rhema from God. Then when it becomes written, it becomes logos. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 4. Is everybody okay? Building on revelation. Verses 1 and 2. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Now, grab hold of this, please. It says, let a man so consider who? Us. Let men consider us. Let men consider us. Right? As servants of Christ. In other words, we serve the anointing. What's the church built on? The what? Anointing and what? Revelation. Okay. Watch this. And revelation is the unveiling mysteries of the eternal kingdom, isn't it? Okay, so watch this. He said, let a man so consider us as servants to Christ or servants to the anointing and what? Stewards of the mysteries of God or stewards of what? Revelation. Come on. So you and I are to be servants to the anointing, the eternal presence, power of God Almighty, and stewards. That means somebody who handles things. They're not ours, they're his. We are stewards to the revelations. Why? Because we share them. We preach them. We display them. That others may want to partake and eat light to become more light and get a thirst and hunger for revelation themselves. Yes. Now, verse 2, look at this. Are you ready? Moreover, it is required in stewardship that one be found what? Faithful. So is God going to give revelation to someone that's unfaithful? No. No. Hello? Faithful steward, one that respects kingdom authority and not just tolerates it. Loves righteousness, hates unrighteousness, and keeps kingdom first is a faithful steward. And Colossians 1. Verse 24. Colossians 1, verse 24. So we are servants of the anointing and stewards of the revelation. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to what? The stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery or revelations, which have been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now have been revealed to us, his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. In all what? Wisdom. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Stewardship. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. And again, what are the mysteries? Revelations. They're the unveiling truths, mysteries of the eternal kingdom. We get plenty of revelation here. Plenty. In Proverbs 29... Again, we've shared this before in verse 18. It says what? Where there is what? Remember, we talked about that the revelation, the word of God was rare with Eli. And what happened? They lost the presence of God. And the reason why, because of that, because he was not restraining, exposing evil. He said, where there's no revelation, the people what? Cast off restraints because there's not building then. It's not building the kingdom. Why? Because building it is on revelation, isn't it? So people then cast off the restraints of the flesh and move more into the flesh than into the kingdom. They move more into the arena of self because the encouragements are not there. The revelations of who he is, which brings a more thirst and hunger, a more love for righteousness, and a desire to get closer, isn't there. So what happens then? People get closer to self. Instead of closer to God. So it's our responsibility to seek out revelation. When the word says seek my face, it means seek out revelation. Amen? In Proverbs 4. In verse 1. Oh, praise God. Let's speak it together. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to know what? Understanding. In other words, when there is understanding, you put it into action. When there's not understanding, you don't. And now, you have a choice, because see, when you receive something, when you truly receive it, that means you grab hold of it, you heard it, you interpret it, so that you can have understanding. Then you put it into action. Again, there's a difference between hearing and listening. When somebody's talking to you, yeah. They're really not listening, are they? Yeah, I got it. They really don't get it. And you know it. You don't see it. You see it bouncing off their heart. Boom, 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 boom. If you can see in the spirit, you see the words, revelation and light just bouncing off a black wall. Boom, boom. Because the heart's hardened. But when there truly is a desire and reception, when a person is hungry and hears and receives, it absorbs. And it becomes not only revelation, but opens eyes, brings a thirst and hunger. And they want to not only know more, but they want to put it into practice. And you know what else? They want to share it with everyone. They want to share. Oh, hallelujah. Again, verse 2. I give you what? Good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son tender... Come on, you guys reading it with me? Come on, start at verse 1. Let's all read this together. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get what? Understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Oh, awesome. Hebrews 10. Verse 23. Is everybody there? Let us hold fast to what? Confession of our hope without what? Wavering. For he who promises faithful. Let us consider one another in order to what? Stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. It says ourselves. See, God wants self to get in the presence of God so it can get behind you. Let us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, make sure you stay in fellowship. Why? The corporate anointing. Are days getting better or worse? Amen. Now verse 26. For if we sin what? Willfully after we have received knowledge of the truth. Wow. There is no longer remains what? Sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, now look at, and insulted the spirit of revelation. Insulted the what? Spirit of revelation. That revelation is also grace. Why? Because grace is God's plan, isn't it? And who's bringing the plan? Spirit of revelation. Does everybody get this? He said, insulted the spirit of revelation, or known as the spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord again. The Lord will judge his people. His people. And I'm going to close at Romans 16. So if God has given you revelation, the unveiling, whether it be counsel, correction, direction, I encourage you not to trample it. Romans 16. Oh, Holly 25. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Building on Revelation. In Rome 16:25. Is everybody there? Gosh. Yeah. Let's read it. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen.